Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. Today we're really digging into the world of counseling and psychotherapy here in Australia, and we've got a ton of interesting research to unpack, from academic journals to workforce surveys. So if you're thinking about a career shift, maybe becoming a therapist yourself.
We could give you that insider's perspective.
Exactly. We're talking about who does what, how they do it,
and what it really takes to thrive in this field.
And trust me, it's not all serious stuff. We've got some juicy debates, maybe even a little controversy to keep things lively.
Think of it as a crash course on all things therapy, Aussie style.
Love it. Okay, let's untangle this web, shall we? First things first.
Yeah.
What even is the difference between counseling and psychotherapy? Day Psychotherapy and Counseling in Australia, one of our key sources today, suggests counseling often revolves around those specific life challenges, you know, the short-term stuff.
Whereas psychotherapy tends to go deeper, addressing those ingrained patterns, the long-term issues.
So navigating a tough breakup versus, say, unpacking years of childhood trauma.
Precisely. But, and this is where it gets interesting, it's not always so black and white. There's a lot of overlap, a whole continuum between those two.
Right, a bit of a blurry line. So how does that play out in the real world? What does it mean for someone actually doing the work?
Well, for starters, it influences how professionals see themselves, the kind of training they go for. It even affects who gets to call themselves a psychotherapist in the end. If you were stepping into this world, these distinctions, they could shape your whole career path.
Wow, so it's not just semantics, it's about real-world impact. Okay, next big question then. How regulated is all of this in Australia? Because skimming these sources, it seems a little unclear.
You're spot on. Unlike, say, psychology or psychiatry, which have stricter government regulations, counseling, and psychotherapy in Australia, well, they take a different approach.
10 Thomas Parker, 2016 Employment Trends for Counsel.pdf actually highlights just how diverse these counselor roles are. We're talking schools, hospitals, NGOs, even organizations like Bravehearts and Life Without Barriers, some pretty intense stuff.
Absolutely, and that's where professional bodies like PASCFA and the ACA step in. They bring some structure to the field through things like registration, ethical guidelines, training standards.
So it's more about self-regulation than strict oversight.
Exactly. And like anything, that has its pros and cons. On the one hand, you have more flexibility, which means a wider range of therapeutic approaches can thrive.
That makes sense. You wouldn't want to stifle innovation in a field as personal as therapy.
But that same self-regulation, it can also lead to some inconsistencies in training, which some argue might affect how the public sees the profession, you know, the level of trust. It's a constant balancing act, really.
And it sounds like that conversation is far from over. Pelling, the credentialing of counseling in AU.pdf, actually mentions calls for PASCFA and the ACA to collaborate to maybe create a single unified registration system.
Now that's a debate with some serious weight behind it. It shows how dynamic this field really is. Even the fundamentals are always evolving.
Okay, so we've got a handle on who the players are, the rules of the game, but what about the therapists themselves? If someone's listening thinking, hey, I could do that, what would it actually look like being a counselor or psychotherapist in Australia, day to day, I mean?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Luckily, we've got some workforce surveys to give us a peek behind the curtain. Schofield Australian Psychotherapists and Counseling Coatfi. Blockatafi, a snapshot of the counseling and Schofield Australian counselors in psychotherapy. They all offer some interesting glimpses. And get this, the average age of a therapist here. Not what you might expect. It's not some fresh-faced 20-something straight out of uni. We're talking someone in their 50s.
Wow, seriously, that's older than I pictured.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of folks find their way into this field a bit later in life, maybe second career, even third sometimes.
Huh, fascinating. They're bringing a lot of life experience to the table then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if we dig a little deeper, we see the majority of therapists in Australia, they're women.
Okay, so we're painting a picture here. Woman in her 50s. Probably had a career change or two before this. Most common setting. Private practice, I'm guessing.
Right on the money. Private practice is definitely the most prevalent, though there are plenty working in NGOs, health settings too. But here's where it gets interesting. Despite the huge e-demand for mental health support these days, Blockatafi, a snapshot of the counseling and Hobie, points out that a lot of counselors, psychotherapists, they're actually underutilized.
Wait, underutilized? Hold on. Isn't there supposed to be like a mental health crisis, people struggling to find therapists, and here we are with qualified professionals not seeing enough clients. Something's not adding up.
It is a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Mm. And it definitely raises questions about the job market for aspiring therapists. could be a tough field to break into, especially if you're just starting out.
Yeah, that's a big consideration for sure. But flip side, could it also mean there's more opportunity for, I don't know, entrepreneurial therapists? Like finding your niche, standing out from the crowd because there's less saturation.
Potentially, yeah. This underutilization could breed innovation, you know, changing how therapy is offered, how people access it.
Okay, so challenge A&D opportunity. Got it. But I'm still stuck on the why here. Why are therapists underutilized?
Well, one major hurdle, and this is something Blachetifi, a snapshot of the counseling, and really drives home, is affordability. Unlike some other mental health services, counseling, psychotherapy, they often lack adequate Medicare subsidies.
So even if someone desperately needs help, they might just not be able to afford it.
Exactly. Creates a real barrier for a lot of Australians. And this funding thing, it has these ripple effects. Psychotherapy, a 2018 scope of practice for reg.pdf, makes the point that studies have shown client outcomes, they're not that different between psychologists and counselors. But because of how the funding is set up, it's like one's way more accessible than the other.
So wait, someone could see a counselor, have a great outcome. Someone else sees a psychologist. Same positive result, but just by chance, because of who takes what insurance, it's this uneven playing field.
That's the long and short of it, yeah. It's a whole other layer of complexity on top of the actual therapist's skills.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. It's a lot to take in. If you're thinking, this is my calling, I'm going to go be a therapist. You have the passion, you want to help, but then you run into these systemic issues.
It's true. It's not always sunshine and roses. But let's not lose sight of the core thing here.
Wow.
There's huge B value in this work, both for the therapists themselves and for society as a whole. People need support. Skilled therapists make a difference.
Right, right. And maybe that's where that entrepreneurial spirit comes in, you know, finding creative solutions, making therapy more accessible, more affordable, fitting the community's needs better.
Exactly. It's problem solving, advocating for change, meeting people where they're at.
Okay, so with all that in mind, let's say someone's listening, convinced this is for them. What does it actually take to become a qualified therapist in Australia? What are we talking? Nuts and bolts.
Well, Psychotherapy, a 2018 scope of practice for reg.pdf, lays it out pretty clearly, a bachelor's degree. That's generally the bare minimum. Though these days, a master's is becoming much more common.
Okay, so we're already talking a pretty big commitment to education right from the start.
Definitely. But it's not just about hitting the books either. Granting eligibility to counselors and psycho.pdf, they emphasize the supervised practice side of things. We're talking 750 hours of client contact. Yeah. That's a lot of real-world experience.
750 hours? That's not dipping your toes in. That's like full-on diving into the deep end of the therapy pool.
Exactly. And it doesn't even end there. Same source. Granting eligibility to counselors and psycho.pdf, they highlight the ongoing requirements too. Continuing professional development, regular supervision. Even personal therapy is encouraged.
Wow, so it really is a lifelong journey, huh? Always learning, growing, refining those skills.
Precisely. That commitment to ongoing development, it's essential, especially with how much the field changes, how diverse the client's needs are.
All right, so we've got the degrees, the supervised hours, the continuous learning. But what about the content of all that training? What are therapists actually learning in those classrooms, in those therapy rooms? So we've talked about degrees, supervised hours, always learning. But what are therapists actually learning? In those classrooms, those therapy rooms, what's in the toolkit?
Well, Counseling and Psychotherapy Orientations, N.PDF, it highlights a fascinating trend. CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, still big, but there's this shift towards eclecticism.
Eclecticism meaning they're not just using one approach.
Exactly. Like having a whole toolbox, not just one hammer. Drawing from different approaches, fitting it to the client, what they need.
Makes sense, right. Find what works for the person, not try to fit everyone into the same box.
And this links back to Day Psychotherapy and Counseling in Australia.pdf. The field's realizing there's no one right way to do therapy. Collaboration, flexibility, finding what clicks with the client's experience, their goals, that's key.
So it's this constant learning curve, adapting new skills. Which kind of makes sense when you think about it. Average therapists in their 50s, right? Life experience on top of the professional stuff.
Absolutely. And speaking of personal, we've been in the facts and figures a lot this deep dive. But being a therapist, it's human work. Connecting with people. Real vulnerable stuff.
And that's got to take a toll, right? Carrying the weight of what people share, their struggles.
You're right to bring that up. Schofield Australian Psychotherapists and Count.pdf. Actually gets into that, the emotional toll. Even experienced therapists, self-doubt creeps in, burnout, the weight of those stories.
So it's not enough to just have the right degree or the perfect technique. It's also about taking care of yourself.
100%. Self-care support systems, those are non-negotiables. It goes back to what we said.
Yeah.
Personal therapy, supervision, professional development. It's not checking boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's how you stay afloat when the work gets heavy.
Reminds you, therapists are human too, you know, their own lives, vulnerabilities, bringing your full self to the work, but knowing your limits, when to reach out for help yourself.
Exactly. And this leads to a really interesting point from Ising Australian Psychotherapists and counsel.pdf. How much do therapists' OWN backgrounds, beliefs play into their work?
Because as much as we try to be objective, we all see the world through our own lens, right?
Right. Ising Australian Psychotherapists and counsel.pdf, they cite this study, found therapists whose faith was important to them more likely to weave that in somehow. Not about pushing beliefs on clients, though.
More like being aware of how those beliefs might subtly shape your approach.
Exactly. Self-awareness, reflection, making sure it's always about the client. Ethical. It's a journey. Always.
Okay, so we have covered a lot of ground here. Counseling versus psychotherapy, the regulations, what the job market actually looks like, the training, and then this really human side of it all.
We dug into the data, looked at the tough parts, hopefully gave some good insights for anyone thinking about this path.
And if there's one big takeaway, it's that the therapy world, it's always changing. Got to keep learning, be willing to adapt, and really commit to growing personally, professionally. But it also gives you this amazing chance to really make a difference in people's lives.
And that, I think, is what makes it so powerful, such a worthwhile thing to consider.
Absolutely. And on that note, one last thought-provoking bit to leave you with. Say well, 2024. Understanding the transition from pen.pdf. They asked this question that really stuck with me. We've talked about trained therapists, but what about lived experience? Could someone who's been through challenges offer a unique kind of support, something to ponder?
Opens up a whole other avenue of exploration there. And as you're exploring, maybe dive into specific types of therapy that interest you. Check out PassIFA, ACA, their websites, or even just reflect on what drew you to this in the first place.
It's a journey, for sure, both personally and if you make it your career. And with that, we're wrapping up this deep dive into counseling and psychotherapy in Australia. Until next time, keep asking those questions, keep learning, and stay curious.
Because that journey, understanding ourselves and each other better, that's the most important one there is.